You turn down your Bibles to Philemon. Philemon, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 25. We'll be finishing up the letter this morning. Carl wanted to take the morning off and not do announcements, so I'll announce some things. Just kidding. One is history is being made this week in our church. We're having an evening session meeting for the first time since I've been here. So, elders, remember that Wednesday, 6 o'clock, this was your idea. So be there. Okay? Bring your jammies if you have to, but 6 o'clock. And if you want to join, if you're interested in joining TRPC, come talk to me after the service and we can talk about that. But Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, elders for that. Also, one thing that's not in the bulletin, because I dropped the ball this week, is Kaylee Vandenhoek will be organizing a fall party on October 31st. So if you're interested in coming, it's going to be a chili cook-off with a prize. Don't get your hopes up. I don't think it's a Jeep Wrangler. Otherwise, man, the attendance would be pretty incredible, though, right? But kids can dress up in costumes. Nothing scary. So no politicians. Get it? I'll be here all night. I said the same joke to my elders, and they didn't even respond to it. They don't care about my jokes. So, but nothing scary. There is a sign-up sheet out there for other things you can bring. So October 31st, it begins at 6 o'clock. So with that being said, those are the announcements. There are other ones in there as well. Let's now go to the Word of God. Philemon, beginning of verse 8. Let's listen to God's Word. Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me, in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And as we look at this often neglected section of your word in Philemon, Father, I pray your spirit will work in our hearts and show us how your word here applies to our life and is profitable for us. And Father, I pray in the name of Christ that you will grow us in our faith, help us fight our sin, and seek and desire peace with each other. And Father, I pray for those here this morning who do not know you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and as their Savior. And I pray that you will use this section of Scripture to bring them to have peace and reconciliation with God through Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Paul here is writing a letter to a brother in Christ, Philemon. Philemon was a man, as you can read in the first several verses of this letter, who loved others. He loved Paul. He loved those who were in the church that met in his home. He was a man that truly loved one others. But he was also a man who was far from perfect. I mean, honestly, if we're completely honest, Philemon is so much like us. He's a sinner. And he struggles. And he struggles in particular in the context of this letter. He struggles in loving a man named Onesimus, a man who many believe stole from him. And that's why Paul is writing them. Paul is writing to confront Philemon and this lack of love that he shows in Onesimus. And Paul is writing to bring peace and to bring reconciliation in this relationship. Paul here, we need to understand this. Paul wants peace. That's what he wants. So let's now look again at verse 8. And we read verse 8 in light of verses 1 through 7, obviously. But it's important to remember verses 1 through 7 from last week. But verse 8, accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. So in verses 1 through 7, Paul stressed how great Philemon is doing at planting this church, leading this church. He's a great worker. His son is a soldier for the Lord. His wife is also great. And he's loving others. And this is wonderful. And then we get to verse 8, accordingly. Here Paul is saying that he has the authority to command Philemon to do what he must do, but he's not going to do that. But he's saying it. Isn't that kind of interesting? I'm not going to tell you what to do, even though I have authority and power to do it, but I have that authority and power. And what is he telling him to do? Have peace. Philemon, I could just tell you to do it, but I won't. Be at peace. I could tell you to be at peace, but I won't tell you that you have to do it by my power because I want your heart to be changed. He doesn't want Philemon here just to change and just go through the motions, right, on the external side of reconciliation. He wants Philemon's heart to see its sin, this sin of unlove, non-loving Onesimus, and his heart to be changed in repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation. So he's not telling them to do it under compulsion. He's appealing by another strategy. And what's that strategy? Verses 9 through 11. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. So what's Paul's appeal? Love. Don't seek peace. Don't seek reconciliation, because I'm telling you. Seek it because you love Jesus. Seek it because you love other brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek it because deep down inside, despite the hurt, despite the wrong, you love Onesimus. I appeal to you for peace, and I appeal to you for reconciliation out of love. And notice he puts in this, in the English parentheses, I'm pretty sure it's not in the Greek, but there's parentheses here. He was useful to you. And now he's useful to you and to me. And useful is actually a play on words there in the Greek. But he's saying love. Onesimus is not just someone who's wronged you. He's someone that's useful to you and to me, though I am in chains. And here Paul is saying essentially that he has no dog in the fight. He's not going to gain anything here. He loves Philemon and he loves Onesimus. He loves the church and he wants peace. He desires peace. And again, verse 11, we see that he will be useful to Philemon. Now, how will Onesimus be useful to Philemon? We don't know. You know, here Philemon, he's doing ministry, right? He's loving others. He's reaching out to others. He has his church meeting in his home. So we don't know exactly what he needs help with, but we know that ministry is busy for him. Ministry is busy. Now, there's this common belief that pastors only work on Sundays, right? We work about, well, Carl does most of the work, so I only work about 30 minutes here. Now, for me, that's right. I only work Sundays. I have a really easy life after that. I'll go home and just drink my lemonade and watch Broncos and just sleep in all week. But every other pastor in the history of the world is busy because ministry is busy. Hospitality, which is what Philemon is also doing, is busy, right? Even easy hospitality is hard and is busy. And here Paul is just saying, you need help. Onesimus is useful to you. You can use him in the ministry. Take him. Take him. And notice that he's saying this is a sacrifice for him. Onesimus is useful to Paul, but he's saying take him because he will be useful to you and to your ministry. And I'll look at verses 12 through 16. We're going through this letter quickly, and don't get excited that you'll get home early, because then we're going to talk about how we reconcile, okay? So just, we're going through quickly, but We're going to be here longer. Just sorry, nursery people. 12:16. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. All right, imagine for a moment, imagine, and of course this is just an imagining time, dreaming time, because we're all perfectly reconciled to everyone in our life. But imagine that someone in your life you are not reconciled to. Someone in your life has hurt you, has wronged you. And we're talking brothers or sisters in Christ, okay? Imagine that first thing, and then imagine that the third party says, I'm sending that person to live with you, to be with you, to go to church with you, to serve with you. That would be tough. That'd be hard, right? That'd be awkward. That's exactly what's going on here. That's what Paul is doing. Paul is saying, hey, listen, Philemon, I know he's hurt you. I know he's wronged you, but he's coming to you. He's coming. Why? Why would Paul do this? Why would Paul force this? Force Onesimus and say, I'm sending him to you to be with Philemon. There's going to be a confrontation there, right? Why? Because he wants to see reconciliation and peace actually happen. Because if it was up to the individuals who are not at peace with one another, if it's up to the individuals who are just fighting or have hurt have been caused, what do we tend to do? We want time, we want distance. We don't want to actually confront and see that person face to face. And here Paul is forcing it. He says, I want you to be at peace with one another. Love Onesimus. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then notice that Paul is still pleading with Philemon out of love to do this. Again, not under compulsion, but out of the goodness of your heart, is essentially what he's saying. Because you are so good, Philemon. You love so many people, Philemon. You love all those people in your church. You love all these people. And then here's one other person. So out of the goodness of your heart, seek peace. Seek reconciliation. And do this, why? For the glory of God. Seek this peace. Seek this reconciliation for God's glory. Look at verse 15 and 16. Paul makes an important point here. Do it for God's glory, but what does he say? Do this because you are brothers. Now, Onesimus was a slave, maybe even to Philemon, who knows. But regardless, here they are brothers in Christ. They are in the same family of Christ. They have all been adopted by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They have all been justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They are one family, and yet they are at odds with each other. There is no peace here. There is no reconciliation. And Paul says no to that. If you are in Christ's family, there should be peace and reconciliation. There should be love for one another. We should not be distant. We should not be broken with one another as followers in Christ. We have differences, sure. But we should never be broken and have broken relationships. Now, here's the thing. Conflict's going to come up, right? Yeah, let's go charismatic for 1 second. Conflict's going to come up, right?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, okay, settle down. That's way too much. Yes, do you even say amen to conflict? Amen, conflict. No. So don't go charismatic. No more charismatic for the day. Okay, but there will be conflict between us. Again, between brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, we will wrong each other. We will wrong each other. We will hurt each other. We will sin against each other. That is what happens because we are a church filled with sinners. And that's not right. That's not okay. But that's the reality of the church. But what is Paul teaching Philemon here? What is he teaching us? When we have conflict, when we hurt, when we wrong, when we sin, we seek peace. We seek peace. We don't run away. We don't let just time heal wounds, because time does not heal wounds. Makes it worse. We seek peace and we seek reconciliation, restoration. The family of God will have conflict, but you know what it will also should also not have? Anger toward one another and broken relationships. When we have that conflict, we should have peace and reconciliation. And that's what Paul wants here. He wants peace. Do you see the pastoral tone with Paul here? He is such a pastor. I mean, I know that Paul is the greatest theologian to have ever lived, but he's probably the greatest pastor too. He wants peace between two brothers in Christ. It's beautiful. Look at 17 and 20 now. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So here is Paul's plea then. He writes this letter, and here he's ending now. Receive Onesimus. Accept him. Receive him. Receive him into your church. Receive him into your home. More importantly, receive him into your life as a brother in Christ. And look at verse 18. Here we see the allusion, I think that's the right grammatical term, of this Onesimus stealing from Philemon. But here Paul says, he'll pay for whatever's lost. Whatever was taken, whatever you lost, I will repay, Paul says. And then you see like this little editorial note in verse 19, I believe, where he's just stressing, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay. But then what do you notice? But then you actually owe me. So, you know, just reminding you of that. That's so Paul, right? I will repay anything, but you owe me. So, but why is Paul willing to pay for what the lost goods, the lost money, whatever it was? Because he's a pastor, and he loves these men, and he will do anything he can to bring peace. He is willing to pay what he does not owe. He's willing to pay for what he shouldn't have to pay for, but he's willing to do it because he wants peace. Wow, do we get that? Do we get how important peace is to Paul? Do we get how important peace and reconciliation is for the church? And again, when I ask that question, it's not about Paul, it's about us. Do we see how important peace is among brothers and sisters in Christ? And then verse 20, he claims he wants to benefit from this. What does he want? He wants his heart to be refreshed. He is hurting right now, Paul is. He is hurting because he sees two brothers at odds. And he loves them so much that he hates seeing this. So he wants this peace. He wants this reconciliation so that God can be glorified, but so he can be refreshed. Because he hurts when they hurt. He hurts when they hurt. Now we think, this is interesting, right? Because when we think we have, when we have strife or conflict with others, we just think it affects, you know, the two that have conflict. But no, Paul here, it's, we see, no, it's, it expands more than just those two people. When there's conflict in the church hurts. It affects the entire church. When there's conflict in a family, the entire family hurts. And here Paul is hurting. So he wants, yes, there is a benefit here. He wants to be refreshed. But look, now look at verse 21, 22. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. So Paul knows the heart of Philemon, and here he's saying, I know you're going to do what's right. I know you're going to seek peace. In fact, I know you're going to do more than what I'm saying and asking you to do. But, there's a but there. We don't see it. But verse 22. It's interesting. Some scholars, now this is where I go away from it, some scholars, but I join other scholars. Some scholars believe this is just kind of a separate thing. It's asking for a room. That's all he's doing. It's like, it's the early church version of like VRBO. That's what this is, right? That's what they would say. Just he wants a room, he's coming, and that's all he's saying. But I think there's more to it than that. Because here he's making a plea to, for Philemon to receive, to accept, and bring peace with Onesimus. And then he says, get me a room. I think he's putting some weight behind what his request is. I think what Philemon, or what Paul is saying is, Philemon, Seek love, seek peace, seek reconciliation, and guess what? I'm coming. I'm going to hold you accountable. I feel at this point he felt like he was going to be out of prison soon, and he was going to be in Colossae. He's holding Philemon accountable. He's putting his feet to the fire is what we would say. So Philemon wouldn't just say, okay, Paul wrote a letter, but he's in jail, so I'm really not going to seek peace. I'm not going to seek reconciliation with Onesimus. But now he's like, hey, I'm coming. And now Philemon's like, oh, okay. He's going to do it because we have to act for reconciliation, right? We have to meet. We have to do. And that's what Paul, I believe, is saying here. I'm coming, so act. And then here we just see Paul ends his letter. His entourage sends their greetings. I mean, notice these men here, Mark, Luke. That's an amazing entourage that Paul had. And then he ends with a prayer, may God bring peace. May God bring peace. Philemon, may God bring peace and grace to your relationships. May God bring peace and grace to your church. May God bring grace. May it work. And that's the prayer for us this morning, is it not? May God's grace work in our church at TRPC. May there be peace by God's grace here at TRPC. We have to pray that. We cannot just assume that we'll be at peace with one another. We need to pray God's grace to work. We need God's grace to work in our church. We need God's grace for peace with one another. Okay? Now, if you're visiting, I'm not saying that we're a dysfunctional church that hates each other. Okay? But I am saying, yeah, that is an amen. Yeah, that's right. But I am saying that we are broken sinners and we can have conflict with each other. And apart from God's grace, there won't be peace. Okay? But how? Now here's the how. That's what the letter said. And Philemon and Onesimus, there has to be peace there. Now, if we're honest, a lot of us, and I know for a fact that this is true, a lot of us are dealing with relationships that are broken. And they're broken with brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? And it doesn't have to be in this church. It can be the church universal, right? How do we make peace? How do we bring reconciliation in our broken relationships? That's a big question, right? So over the next hour, I would like to examine that. Just kidding. Okay, first, let's pray. Pray. And here's the thing. Pray for your heart. Right? It's always easy, and we always just pray for that other person. We pray for that person's heart to soften to what we want. Right? No, let's pray for our heart. That we can love, though we've been wronged. Let's pray for our heart, that we can forgive, though we've been sinned against. Let's pray for our heart first. Let us cry out like the psalmists do and cry out, but we pray and we pray for God to help our heart in our broken relationships. That's where I think we start. Okay. What else do we do? Now, listen, I'm listing off some bullet points here because we all love bullet points, right? This isn't the exhaustive list. Okay. This is just from Scripture, and there could be more. And you can, please feel free to tell me on the way out, after you tell me how bad the sermon was, tell me what point I missed, okay? But what's the second thing we need to do? This is the big one. Die to self. We need to die to self. Jesus said this in Luke 9, 23 through 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Let us deny ourselves and take up our cross. John the Baptist said it another way. And he said it in a completely different context. I get it, but I think this sentence applies to us. Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And I think in our relationships that are broken, we need to deny what we want. We want vengeance. We want justice. They wronged us. They did this. They did that. And you know what? Yeah. And I'm not belittling or doubting anything you say. You've been wrong. You've been hurt. Leave that to God. Leave that to God. Die to self. Deny the fact that you want that vengeance. Instead, desire peace. Deny the desire to want that person to pay. To want that person to know how you're hurting, how you can't sleep at night, how they've done this or that, and desire peace and reconciliation. Jesus must increase in our life. We must decrease. And do you see why we need to pray for our hearts? Because that's hard. That's hard when we've been wounded, when we've been hurt, just to deny that. But we should. For God's glory. For God's glory. But then what? We must repent, right? Shouldn't we be repenting of our sins? Shouldn't we be repenting of the wrongs that we've done in our relationships, in these broken relationships? Let us repent of our sin. We are not innocent. None of us are innocent in any relationship. We have sinned. We have wrong. Let us confess that sin and repent of that sin. But then let us also, here's the other one, forgive. Whether someone comes to you or not, let us forgive. Forgive that other person for the wrong that they have said. People have said horrible things to me. Horrible things to me. And because I'm recording it, I will not give you a specific example because it's going on the website. You never know. But they have said horrible things to me. And for the sake of Christ and His glory, and it's been years in the making, I decide just let it go. And to forgive. Because I care more about Christ. And that's hard. I'm not saying that was just flip a switch and I did it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I needed to forgive. And forgive does not mean we push the erase button in our memory and we just forget that that wrong has ever happened. You can debate with me all you want, but that's just really ridiculous. That can't happen. That can't happen. And that doesn't mean that we instantly trust that person right away, right? It does mean we start rebuilding trust that was lost. But when we forgive, it means we aren't bitter, we aren't angry, we aren't calling for vengeance or justice. It really means that we begin to love. When we forgive, we're going down that road to love that person. And that's what Paul was getting at here. Let us love. Let us love one another. So brothers and sisters, be at peace. Fight for peace. Desire peace. Long for that peace. Romans 12:18. If it is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. Notice what he says. If it's possible on your part. On your part. And let me tell you, as a pastor, I hate it when there's not peace. I hate it. I hate it when there's not peace in the church. When members are fighting members or there's just whatever. And I'm just telling you this publicly now, just so you know, that my desire will be for peace. My desire is not to take sides. My desire is to bring peace. And that means that I will say things that you don't like to bring peace. Because I want peace. I want peace in all relationships. This seems impossible, right? Right now, some of you maybe are going through your mind like, okay, that's impossible. That individual has wronged me so badly. Or this has been going on for years, for decades maybe. But this is what popped into my mind as I pondered and prayed about that, because I understand. This verse popped in my mind. Nothing is impossible with God. Again, I'm taking that way out of context, right? Well, that was when the angel said that to Mary about the birth of Jesus. Yes, it is. You know your Bible. Very good. Proud of you. But theologically, that is so true. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's put it this way. If we think that our relationship can't be reconciled and there can't be peace, that's very arrogant, right? I better take a drink after that statement. That's pretty arrogant. Because if God was able to reconcile sinful man to himself through Christ, don't we think for one moment that he can reconcile us to our spouse, to our kid, to the pastor, to that church member, Don't you think God can work? Yes, we have to do our part. We need to pray. We need to forgive. We need to confess. We need to love. But don't you think that God, who is sovereign over all things, who sent Jesus Christ to the cross to die, to save sinners from their sin, but also that means to reconcile us to himself, don't you think he can work in your relationship, your broken relationship? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely do. I've seen it done. I see it done, and I will continually see it done. And so can you, because that is how amazing our God is. That is how gracious and merciful and loving he is, that he does take broken relationships and bring peace. Isn't that beautiful? With nothing is impossible with God. Now, we don't know the rest of the story. Isn't that frustrating? Ugh. Here's this letter to Philemon, and don't you wish there was a Philemon chapter 2 that all it said was, way to go, guys, and that was it? You know, like something like that, so we knew the rest of the story? We don't have that. And I'm going to be an optimist. I think that they reconciled. I do, and here's why. First of all, Philemon, he was a man who loved. Right? That's what we know from this little letter. He loved, he loved, he loved. And we also know something else very important. Onesimus was willing to go. We don't see that actually stated, but it was never a question to Paul. He was coming. Onesimus was coming. And here's the other thing. Both of those men had the Holy Spirit living within them. And I think, because nothing is impossible with God, that even though this thief stole from this man, they were still able to reconcile and have peace. And the same is true for us. Right now, you're thinking about a broken relationship in your life. And there's varying degrees to them. Some are horrendous, some are just God can work and bring peace. Pray. Pray for your heart. Forgive. Confess your sins and love that individual. And God, by his grace, through his mercy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can bring peace and can bring reconciliation. Okay? But here's the thing. In order for that to happen, you first need to have peace and be reconciled to God. We can't do it on our own. We need peace with God. And the only way we can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't know God and you don't have peace with him. So I ask you now to confess your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you will have peace with God. You will be reconciled to God. You will be redeemed. And then you can join me in bringing peace to other relationships in your life. But first, we need Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray right now, help us, brothers and sisters in Christ, your children, O God, to be at peace with one another. Help us die to self. Help us confess our sins. Help us forgive and love. And it is so hard to do that when we have been hurt, when we have been wronged. But Father, let us look to you as the ultimate example. We have hurt you. We have wronged you. We were enemies of you. But yet, out of your love, out of your mercy and grace, you gave us Jesus so that we could have peace with you and be reconciled to you. Let us remember that as we move forward with our broken relationships. And Father, for those of us here this morning who don't know Christ, who don't truly know who you are, please let them know that they don't have peace with you. The only way to gain peace is through Christ. Bring them to faith and repentance in Christ so they can be saved, so they can be redeemed, so they can have peace with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.